The following program is brought to you by the friends and partners of Time of Grace. It all starts now.
Welcome to Time of Grace. I'm Pastor John Enter. A number of years ago, we had a garage sale at our church to help raise some funds for the youth group to go on some summer ministry trips. And we had some teenagers come up to me and they gave me this book, just laughing uncontrollably, asking me, Pastor, how much should we price this book for? And I got this from them and went, wait a second, this is a church garage sale. We got this from one of our members. Paging through it, here's a couple of things of how you can get revenge. Grinding up a sleeping pill into your target's morning coffee and watch them pass out by 11 a.m. Buy a lockable gas cap and then put it onto your target's car. By the way, these are not options for you. They're just in the book. And then I noticed the book is highlighted. Someone had this book and highlighted it. Revenge is something that we do so often. It's something that comes so naturally, sadly, to each and every one of us. In Pastor Mark Jeske's message for you today, he's going to talk to you through a unique account in Scripture where King David so easily could have gotten revenge on someone, but he didn't. At this point in his life, David had been transformed.
I'd like to invite you to take your Bible and open it up to 2 Samuel 16, the amazing story of Shimei. Without looking, how many of you, I don't want to embarrass you necessarily, but how many of you could tell me without looking ahead who Shimei was? How many of you knew who this guy was? I mean, go ahead, be honest. Just tell me. If you really did know, then tell me. Holy smokes. Then you're going to hear like this brand new story. So this will be fun for you too. This is a new story for you. It takes place in what should have been the golden age of King David's reign. His oldest boy, Amnon, turned out to be a pampered, spoiled jerk who conceived a sexual lust for his younger sister and found a way to maneuver her alone and jumped her and raped her. Her full brother, Absalom, was enraged, but as it is sometimes said, revenge is a dish best served cold. And Absalom cooked his plot for two years. Coldly bided his time, found an opportunity with a gang of his homies, and they jumped his older brother Amnon and killed him. Then he had to go into exile. He was afraid that he would be hauled into his father's court. But David let him go. And Absalom eventually made it back and was allowed to return to Jerusalem. But he developed a scorn for his father for being such a weak-willed, milling around, indecisive old fool that he said, I gotta get the old boy off the throne. I could do a much better job. And so he began to cultivate a following that eventually got big enough that he was ready to roll the dice. And he went to Hebron, which is some distance south of Jerusalem, on an excuse to worship God. In fact, it was to launch his coup. And he assembled a huge army, playing on anybody who might conceivably have had a resentment towards King David. And he was aggressive, energetic, charismatic, really good looking, and had a huge head of hair. He was a stunning example of a man, and he was a natural attractor of people, and he gathered quite a force, and word came to David, Absalom is declaring himself king in Hebron. And David had enough savvy to know this is not the place to make our stand. Don't fight it out in Jerusalem, or we're going to destroy the city, and many civilians will die. We have to run. And so David now is fleeing. As we meet up with him, David and a small train of his close family, his wives, imagine that, he takes all his wives and his sons who were still loyal to him, his advisors, and the core of the military chiefs of staff, and immediately heads eastward sort of retracing Jesus or pre-tracing Jesus' steps to the Mount of Olives, spent a bit of time on the peak and kept going. And we meet him in a little dinky little town called Bahurim, which is so small, hardly anything ever happened in it. And it's just a little dinky town on the way to Jericho, to the oases, the big oases at Jericho. They're traveling through the desert. And as they get to Bahurim, here's where our story begins now in verse 5. A man from the same clan as Saul's family came out from there. This is, Saul's family should have pretty much got over everything by now. They were Benjamites. David was from Judah. This is like 20 years ago. His name was Shimei, son of Gera. And he's still angry that Saul's dynasty had been ended and there was no more royalty in that family. And now David was the new king. He cursed as he came out. He pelted David and all the king's officials with stones, though all the troops and the special guard were on David's right and left. Can you imagine this situation? David is walking along the lower road, and here's this guy up on a ridge a few dozen yards higher than David. I'm Shimei up here, and there's David down there. And he's hollering abuse and curses and picking up handfuls of stone and gravel and dirt and throwing it on the king with David's armed bodyguards on either side of him. You know when that the gunman who was holding the hostages in the nightclub in Orlando finally came out of the hole in the wall? When somebody single-handedly charges armed and deployed police in riot gear, and you single-handedly charge them, that is, that's pretty much game over. And that's when somebody has decided you don't want to live any longer. In fact, sad to say, our country has generated a new phrase. What is that called when you charge the police with your guns blazing? Suicide by cop. In other words, you're trying to put the responsibility on them, but really, you've killed yourself. By you attacking the police who are in full readiness, you are basically committing suicide and by pretending that they shot you. You really have killed yourself. I can't believe that Shimei figured he would see the light of another new day. He must have been so desperate and so angry, he had his moment to vent his wrath on the king, whom previously he would have not been allowed to get close to. Here's his chance. And I honestly think the guy probably thought he's going to be beheaded, but it would be so totally worth it to scream at him for what he did to his family's dynasty. It was so unjust. David did not anoint himself. It was done by the prophet Samuel. David did not raise his hand against Saul. He did not launch a coup. He stayed out of the way until Saul had been killed in battle. So these accusations and this cursing was totally unjust. Listen to what Shimei is doing to him. He says, get out, you man of blood, you scoundrel. The Lord has repaid you for all the blood you shed. He didn't shed any blood in the household of Saul, in whose place you have reigned. The Lord has handed the kingdom over to your son, Absalom. You've come to ruin because you're a man of blood. And Abishai, son of Zeruiah, that's the brother of David's chief of staff, his military chief of staff, Joab, says to the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over and cut off his head. And you'd expect David to say, do it and do it fast and shut up his mouth. And by the way, cut out his tongue as a souvenir. That's maybe what I would have done. But that's not what happened. This is so crazy. Listen to what David says. What do you and I have in common, you sons of Zeruiah? They're family. He can talk like that because they're family. If he's cursing because the Lord said to him, curse David, who can ask, why do you do this? And David then said to Abishai and all his officials, my son who is of my own flesh is trying to take my life. How much more then this Benjamite? Leave him alone. Let him curse, for the Lord maybe told him to. It may be that the Lord will see my distress and repay me with good for the cursing I'm receiving today. So they continued along the road while Shimei was going along the hillside opposite him, cursing as he went and throwing stones at him and showering him with dirt. Isn't this an outrageous story? The king and all the people with him arrived at their destination exhausted, I guess so. And there he refreshed himself. David, you know, he's washing the dirt off his head. I wonder if any larger stones or pebbles had conked him in the bean. It was a miserable day, but he bowed his head and absorbed that abuse rather than have the man killed. What a transformation. What a change that brings about, because it so goes against our nature. Our nature is to give back in greater measure what's been done to us. Our nature is to retaliate and seek revenge. Why do you think the plots of so many movies and plays and TV shows are based on revenge, of payback? You do this to me, I'm going to hit you back even harder and teach you a lesson. Only Christianity, as far as I know, talks about absorbing an injustice as preferable to retaliating and hurting someone back. And man, is that hard. And David is a hero for me in many ways, but he's really a hero at this particular moment because he did a different kind of thing, different what was expected. His commander of his little personal detail, his bodyguard detail, was ready to strike that man down and behead him right on the spot and show that you can't do that to the king. But David said, let him scream. And perhaps this is God's way to take me down a few notches. David understood the dangers of pride. He was a kind of fool in various other ways. He was blind to the machinations of his boys, his naughty boys. And there were others too. He was going to have more trouble later on. He was blind to what his oldest son was doing, lusting for his daughter. But David said, let him curse. Maybe he's the voice of God, and these rebukes that I'm receiving are coming from God. So he took it. Understanding what a danger pride is. I wonder if you understand the danger to your own ego and your own pride. Maybe some other people have pointed out to you that you think pretty much of yourself. Or maybe your pride is more of a sinister kind. Maybe it's the quiet kind of pride. Maybe you think you're humble, but really you're very, very stubborn. Maybe you're passive-aggressive proud, and you just never give in or you never change. Maybe your ego is getting in the way of actually repenting of your sins because you're holding on to everything to try to control it. You know, being a control freak, even if you look like there's a rationale behind it, is a form of pride and ego, trying to control everything. And David probably knew this is good for me to take this abuse. And that gravel raining down on his head as he walked along, he just said, Lord, I have been a fool. I've got plenty of sins to be ashamed of. And he let the rebukes happen. Shimei goes to bed that night, I think astonished he's still alive. But you know what? I wonder if that changed Shimei's heart. He thought he was going to commit suicide by cop, and instead the king takes the abuse. I wonder if Shimei rethought his curses that night. Man, he just took it. He could have had me killed, but he didn't. Maybe he's not the bloodthirsty, violent man that the Benjamites have been saying. Jesus himself echoed the attitude David showed. At the end of the Blesseds, as he begins his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said some really hard words, the kind of words that you and I gloss over and read through fast because we don't like to hear what they say. And here's how the Beatitudes end. Blessed are you when people insult you. And you want to say, oh, right. Yeah, I love mockery. I love being humiliated. I love being put down. Yeah, right. Come on. If anybody but Jesus was saying that, you might find reason or ways to dodge those words, but you can't. Jesus looks you right in your eyeballs and says, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. We want to retaliate. And if somebody messes with me, I'm going to mess with him. I'm going to teach him a lesson. You don't mess with me. I am the baddest dude around here, and you mess with me, and you are going to regret it for the rest of your life. That's the talk. That's our world. That's why there is so much violence in our families, in our streets, in our cities, is because people get sucked into the retaliation, giant sucking sound of retaliation, where they think they have to give payback, and it never stops until you and I choose to stop it, like David stopped it. He was not going to retaliate against this man. Jesus said, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So I got to ask you right now what kind of anger you're dragging around in your heart. What kind of revenge fantasies are playing through your brain right now? And I know, don't look at me so innocent like that. You know that you're plotting revenge in church too. You know that you have nasty thoughts right here in the sanctuary of the Lord. You know you do. You've been wounded, and you're steaming about it, and you're finding ways to get back at that person. Let go. Let it right here. In fact, if it helps, imagine that you're taking off a backpack full of all that junk and just set it on the pew next to you today and walk away and leave it there and walk out of here without that load and without that burden, without all that anger. Because the only person who can put you in anger prison is yourself. And the only person who can let you out is yourself. And I invite you to just envision the sight of King David with his head bowed, all dusty and dirty, from this jackass up on the hill throwing dirt and gravel and stones at him, mocking and ridiculing him, and David taking it and saying, let him rail. I deserve all that and more, because maybe the Lord will see my distress. And David believed that God gets involved in the lives of individuals and has his hand on the blessing faucet. Jesus said, if I say you're blessed, that means I am changing your life for the better. I'm going to intervene in your life to make things better for you. The violence can stop with us. Don't just wring your hands and groan about the violence in our world. Some things you cannot change. What you can change is your attitude, the words coming out of your mouth, the revenge fantasies cooking in your brain, the anger and retaliation that wants to rise up like you're vomiting, rise up out of you and pour out, and you can stop it and just let it go. Not because you're trying to enable bad behaviors, but because God said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. You can trust God to take care of evildoers. You do not need to appoint yourself and anoint yourself the judge and jury and executioner. Let God take care of the bad girls and the bad boys. And instead, you can choose the way of the gospel, which is to absorb an injustice and refuse to deal back any pain or violence. And if each of us commits, we're going to change the world one at a time, one relationship at a time. If we can somehow build families that can absorb injustices without keeping revenge going and without payback, we can be peacemakers and we can change our families, we can change our block, we can change neighborhoods, we can change people. But only, I think, really Christians have the incentive and the model to do that. Our Lord Jesus, the greatest of them all, absorbed the ultimate load of injustices on himself, not only to be able to give you and me the forgiveness of our sins and give us the favor of God by his suffering and death. He didn't do that only just for you and for me, but he also gave his life as a pattern and invites us to do nothing less than to pick up our own crosses and follow him. What do you think is, when Jesus said, pick up your cross and follow me, what do you think he was talking about? What do you think he meant? He meant doing things that are hard that you're doing for me, for my sake. Everybody's got hard stuff. Everybody's life has got really hard things. Those aren't crosses. Just because you get sick isn't necessarily a cross. Everybody gets sick. Just because you got injured or wounded or lost a loved one, everybody has to go to funerals you don't want to go to. Everybody, whether you're a believer or unbeliever. The crosses that believers pick up are hard things that they agree to do that they wouldn't have to do. Hardships they are willing to accept for Jesus' sake, because he did it and because he invites you to live like him. This is really hard. But I invite you to think of David, covered with dirt and dust from head to toe, wearily laying down his bones and somebody fetching some water so the king could wash himself from Shimei's dust. I know I need this therapy because I'm a bit of a control freak. I also have plenty of revenge fantasies. You know, one of the things that goes with my life, as you get to be a bit of a public figure, first I was a pastor and then became somewhat of a presence on television, you get a lot of love, but you also get a lot of abuse that goes with it. Don't sign up for this, for my gig, unless you're ready to take both sides. And I have now hundreds of thousands of friends that I'm going to enjoy heaven with even more, but you know what? I have some haters too, who pour out Shimei-like abuse at Time of Grace and things that I do. And I have to learn and work on this myself, and I'm not always real good at it. So you could shoot up a little prayer for me. After you're done fixing your own heart today, fire up one quick one to ask for a little extra patience for me. Because there's nothing to be gained by getting into an angry battle of words or arguing or hating back. It accomplishes nothing except to make the devil smile even wider. And so I'm going to work on being a better absorber of injustice, and I'm going to give it all to God. I'm going to let him have it all. And I'm going to say, you take care of these people. They clearly got a screw loose. Nobody in his right mind could not love me. So there, it's their problem, not my problem. And God, I'm giving it to you. Take care of them. You said vengeance is mine. All right. Tune them up when you're ready, and I can completely rest easy over that. And in the meantime, I'm going to let the stuff I got to eat each day just be a humbling sandwich, a humility sandwich. And I'm going to let you use that to work on my heart, to keep me humble, recognizing my own stupidity and sins. I'm as dumb as David and worse in certain areas of my life. I do not have my own life under full control yet, but frankly, neither do you. Let the hassles you experience lead you to be humbler, a humbler person. Have a softer voice, a greater compassion for the other fools and sinners around you. And be a good example of the violence stops here. The retaliation and revenge stop right here. And I'm not going to continue it. And the Bible says that's like putting coals of fire on somebody's head. And I just invite you to think what was going through Shimei's head as he realized he was still alive. He must have felt like the top of his head was burning. I wonder if I was wrong about David. And I invite you to shock your friends by having some junk repeated to you where they want to see you fight back and they're eagerly watching to see you retaliate. And you say, I'm going to let it go. I feel sorry that that person's so confused. They say, aren't you mad? You're going to stun them and say, no, not really. I'm just disappointed. I feel bad for them that they're so confused. And I'm going to give it to God, and then I'm going to go have fun with the rest of my day. And I'm not going to let them take my day away from me and steal my joy. How about that? Are you in? Are you in?
Yes.
Well, then I guess our work here is done. Amen.
Have you noticed how increasingly angry our society is? You see it when people are out shopping at the grocery store and they use their shopping cart as a battering ram. The way that parents talk to kids, the way that kids talk to parents. And man, you see it on the roadways. It just happened to me 2 weeks ago. I'm driving into church and I'm in happy Jesus mode. I am running through my sermon. God blessed it the night before. I can't wait to share that message again that morning. I am praying. I am happy. And I'm stopped at a red light, and it's red. I look down to get something off of my seat, and the guy behind me, honk, I mean, just lays down in anger because apparently I didn't have the response time of a NASCAR driver. And of course, instantly, anger pops into me and wants of revenge against this guy. He fires off, goes down the line, and about a mile and a half down the road, guess who got stopped by a red light, and guess who pulled up right behind him? So instantly, my want is to lay on that horn. I didn't. I don't really get credit for it that I didn't because I wanted to. Revenge, oh, it's just inside of each and every one of us. Pastor Mark just shared with you a message about how David was transformed and how he was moved from revenge to righteousness. And that's something each and every one of us needs so desperately in our lives. And we make our lives not about others or not about ourselves, but only about God. God first. Then we can have peace. Then we have confidence in living, not in revenge, but to live in righteousness. I'll be back to pray with you in just a moment.
God has placed some incredible opportunities before us to reach even more people with the timeless truths that are found in His Word, especially through our video ministry. That's why we've set a $105,000 goal this month, which will enable Time of Grace to engage even more viewers via TV, social media, Roku and Apple TV, YouTube, and your Time of Grace, just to name a few. Our prayer is that you would help us reach this vital goal by August 31st so that more people can start living in the freedom of God's incredible grace. And when you give, we'll say thanks by sending you a captivating new book from Pastor James Hine, one of our Your Time of Grace speakers, called What Has Your Heart?
So be sure to request yours when you give today. Call 800-661-3311, text TIME to 313131, or visit timeofgrace.org/store.
Thank you. Thank you for all that you do to support us here at Time of Grace. It's our incredible joy to share with you and with the world God's message of peace and mercy. Let us pray. Christ Jesus, help us. Help us through the instant reaction of revenge. When hurt people get hurt, they hurt others. So help to remove that hurt from our hearts and our lives. Help us to fill us with peace so that when others harm us, that we go to them in grace the way that you treat us. Thank you, God, for being a God of grace, a God of mercy, and all the love that you pour into us. Help us to be transformed from revenge to righteousness. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. For Time of Grace, I'm Pastor John Enter. It all starts now.
It all starts now. It all starts now. Time of Grace. It all starts now.
The preceding program was brought to you by the friends and partners of Time of Grace.